All right, here we go. Welcome to Wake in the Future. I am Pat, and good morning, everybody. All right, it's what is it? Wednesday morning, November the 30th. We have our good friend Jeannie with us. Welcome back
Hello from
from the land
the
down under. Yes, good day. So, hopefully you're doing well this morning, Jeannie.
Yeah, I've had a quite emotional week, but I won't go into that. But I'm not too bad. Yeah,
Excellent,
yeah,
excellent. Very good, very good.
yeah.
Well, yeah, so the last time we had you on, we said right at the end, we said, you know what, the heck with this. We're just gonna reschedule once again because you enjoy coming on. We love having you come on the show. So that's what we did. We got you back again today. It's amazing how quickly 2 weeks goes by these days. It's like,
Yes.
what happened to the time? Where'd it go?
I know, it's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Incredible.
So
Incredible.
Joel will not be with us this morning, guys. He's got some family things going on he's attending to. So it's just you're stuck with just me and Jeannie. You poor souls.
Those poor people. Oh
I know, right? So
my God.
you'd sent over a quick email, Jeannie, saying, hey, just a quick update on the political scene in your world over there. So what do we got going on over there?
Well, when I say political scene, I guess I just meant my environment.
Okay.
We've had
Well, I know
rumblings.
you had gone back to work and some other things going on over there with that. So,
Oh, well, I'm trying to get back
yep.
into government work. But there's been rumblings about Christmas lockdowns. I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but regardless, if they try to pull it, I'm ignoring it. I don't care. But it's interesting on the trains, the message now, it's please use a hand sanitizer, please still keep your distance and respect people who wear masks, not respect their decision to wear them or not. It's just a
It's
subtle, leaving
wordplay.
out of the not wearing it,
Yeah.
but most people weren't, so
Most
on the
people are
train,
still
so
not wearing them.
yeah.
Thank
Yeah.
God for that. Thank God for that. Well, it's amazing,
There's
you know.
no
I
point.
mean, it's kind of like here in the States, everything that's come out against why anybody would ever inject any of this shit, this poison into their body is beyond me. But now what they're doing is they're running the flu campaign. They're running the flu propaganda again over here in the States. And basically, oh,
Yeah.
now it's like, hey, make sure you go out and get that flu jab. No word about the fact that for 2.5 years the flu, took a vacation, went on hiatus here for a while, Now they're not going to talk about that. I mean, the numbers on the flu statistics alone, they don't lie. I mean, well, they may be lies, but let's look
Yeah.
at them, what they give us for numbers. We're in the 20s, 30s, 40,000s, dying per year from flu related complications is how they'll put it. To now, you look at 2020, 2021, there's like nobody, and now here we are, we're coming into 2023. And now all of a sudden the flu's making this big return. Now everybody go get your flu jabs. It's going to be okay. And they're really running this heavy propaganda on that. And so you have these people that they're on what, their fifth,
Yeah,
booster or
like
whatever at this stage, and it's
I
like, good Lord, people, when are you ever going to realize this allopathy is what's killing you? Like, come
yeah,
on.
like there's no ads on TV saying we'll give you free donuts if you have your vitamin C. Get into your vitamin C, people. But they never used to push the flu jab either. There was no, maybe they're putting extra shit in it, but there was none of this huge push for the flu jab from memory, my memory.
They've always pushed it, but it's definitely, they're kicking it up a
Not to this
notch.
degree.
Yeah,
Oh
they're
yeah,
kicking it up a
that's
notch for
right.
sure,
Yeah.
And it's part of the fear campaign, the fear campaign that they've been running is it has to continue. And it's the same thing with the masks, however they want to word these things, obviously, just having it out there. It's like there's no such thing as bad publicity, So for them, they know
Yeah.
people like us, when we see these signs, we cringe, we get upset, they know this, they want this, and they're okay with that because it keeps it right front and center. I mean, hell, here we are having this very conversation. It's
Yeah.
very important, but at the same time, it's one of those things where it's like, how do we get out of this? How are we ever going to get out of this? I mean, like with some of the things that Michelle talks about over on her channel, you know, how do we find that natural way? And then how do we present it to people around us, our loved ones and our friends and all these people? How do we get them to understand that there is a better way forward, that there is a way that we can actually take care of ourselves without relying upon these multi-billion dollar corporations that need us sick in order to function, right? I mean, because if they actually healed us, if they cured us, well, they're going to lose customers. So, you know, it's like, it's so plain for people like us to see that, but they miss it.
Yeah. I think, you know, pills and everything are just so much easier to take, as in, well, you know, mix this natural thing and mix this natural thing. Oh, bugger all that. It's too much trouble. I'll just pop this pill, you know. Mm-hmm. But I used to always wonder, why haven't they found a cure for cancer? This is ridiculous.
You notice how none of these evil bastards, you're never hearing about them dying of cancer and Alzheimer's and things like that. Those deaths are reserved for the plebs, and you know, it's interesting. Yeah. But that goes right back to, you know, this whole idea of you know, curing people. There is no net win for them to cure somebody, right? They need, and this is why we have, you know, all these ADD, ADHDs, and all these other things that they're diagnosing these kids with when they're like 4, 5, 6 years old. It's not that they're children and they get easily distracted because they're so curious about it. Their curiosity is peaked. You know, they're not going to worry about that. We're just going to give them methamphetamines and, you know, it will keep them in this state that we need them in this way here, as we indoctrinate them, as we program them, as we mold them and shape them into what we need them to be. They'll be as docile as possible. And, you know, I can't even remember. I got home last night, later last night, and my girlfriend was watching just some show or whatever. And, you know, the mom in the show was like, oh, I'm undiagnosed ADHD. I had no idea. And this is a woman that's probably in her 60s, I would guess, you know, and like the whole, you know, the backdrop story in the show, you know, that is she's running around letting everybody know, oh, I'm undiagnosed ADHD. This is what's been wrong with me my whole life. And it's like,
yeah, oh, Jesus. Oh, you know, man. Yeah.
And this is the type of stuff that we're dealing with. So what it does is it gets these young kids on this cradle to the grave regimen, right? I mean, the numbers here in the States, something like 72, 3, 4% of Americans are on one or more prescription medications every single day.
Yeah.
You know, that should scare the heck out of everybody.
Yeah. It's just horrible, isn't it? It really is. It really is.
Yep. So,
moving on to, if that's okay, to religion versus spirituality, opinions on it. The definition of spirituality is the quality of being concerned with the human spirit as opposed to the physical world, right? Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. And I think when you say someone's religious, you, within that set, you automatically think, well, they're spiritual, okay, because it's like a soul thing. Right. And when you say someone's religious, you know, you ask them, oh, are you Catholic or Protestant, whatever, they fit into a certain box.
Yep.
But spirituality is, it's a much harder thing to pinpoint or label. You know, you can talk about numerology, tarot, even massage therapists can be spiritual.
Yeah, of course.
But I believe that I think someone can be spiritual without even believing in a soul, you know?
Okay.
And because some people, the spiritual path, that's just my opinion. Like mostly it lends itself to believing in a spirit, okay, but not caught up with the religious dogma or rules.
Yeah.
Like with things like numerology and tarot, there's no judgment. There's no punishment.
The numbers, the cards spell out what's going on. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just a reflection of sort of like your soul journey or your life journey. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is. And numerology, and lots of spiritual people believe the soul keeps coming back to learn all these lessons in this physical body to get up to its highest spiritual form so it doesn't have to come back. Mm-hmm. Now, why? I don't know. All I know is numerology, when you get into it, it works. It just seems to work. And tarot, to me, works. Okay.
Right.
But someone's spiritual path, whether they believe in the soul or not, I think the mere fact that if people learn from their lessons and they become aim to become a better person
mm-hmm.
and not to hurt someone,
yeah.
I believe that can be a spiritual path.
Yeah. Yeah, of
even
course.
Though the word spirit is, you know, usually a soul. Okay. But just learning throughout life and improving yourself can simply be a spiritual path.
Of course.
And
of course.
And that's, once again, that's it's funny, Pat. I joined this old soul / empath group on Facebook.
Okay.
And I went in there thinking, oh, this is going to be peace and mung beans and love. They're fighting like cats and dogs because these religious people have come in and said,
My way is the only right way. You're wrong.
Exactly. God is the way. I'm just sitting there thinking, oh, my God. Please,
well,
you know.
The very word religion, you know, for a lot of people has gotten this. It's kind of like the blanket statement of, oh, it's a conspiracy theory or, you know, whatever it may be. It brings up for most people, I'll say, this negative connotation of, you know, what they've been led to believe something that isn't necessarily right. So I was raised in a Catholic house, right? I went to a Catholic school for a short time, you know, like Catholic religion, that's what it was. And for me, when I finally, in my early teens, when I woke up to realize how big of a problem the Catholic Church really was and how terrible
the foundations
of it really, really are. I was that guy. I was that person. I had no spirituality. I would never have spirituality. I had none of these things. And the reason why was because I confused religion with my spirituality, with my beliefs in something greater than myself. And that led me down my life path of, you know, the things that I've done in my past and what brought me to where I am today. And I don't take any of it back. I'm not looking back and saying, oh my gosh, if I could only undo this or that. No, because like you said, what I have looked back to realize is that though I've had my low points in life, I've had major growth. And each day now I do strive to be a little bit better than I was yesterday, to do things a little bit differently, you know, and try to at least be a good person, right? Because to me, I've started to understand that I can say, oh yeah, I'm a member of this church or I'm a member of that church. That doesn't by default, that doesn't give me any, you know, I'm not a good person automatically because I go to some building once or twice a week. And,
that's,
you know,
right.
So
yeah.
I think a lot of people that's where they are is they've got this, you know, this, it's like a wall built and religion's here and spirituality's here. And they're just not able to get past that wall to understand that it's so much more.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. I couldn't believe how the fighting was going on in this group. It was, it shouldn't surprise me, but you know,
no, but,
as I was saying, like, I think somebody can call themselves spiritual without necessarily believing in a soul purely because they're trying to,
I can hear some
people
in the comments right now going crazy, which is funny to me.
I don't care.
How dare you have a different belief than I, Jeannie?
Yeah.
You're
oh,
wrong.
BDN, yeah. Hey, BDN, yeah.
hey, you know.
But you talk about, like, in another definition of spirit. You can say someone has a strong spirit, and to me that's the God within. Somebody having a great spirit means courage to get up every day and fight the world in their own way, just having courage and believing in themselves. That's, to me, the God within. But then when I said, like, I purely believe in numerology because I've seen it reflect my life. When you do people's charts, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I do not know why. But why a soul would want to keep coming back to reach some level, I cannot say. Like, I don't care what anyone says. No one knows what happens after death. Like, I believe there's something. But we really don't know until we...
Well, that's it, until we experience
it's fascinating.
It.
Fascinating. Yeah. But, sorry, John. I mean, Pat, I'm just on a rant here. But religious people, like, everyone has their own way of dealing with the world, especially these days.
Right.
And it's fine. If you believe Jesus is coming back, if you believe in God, that's okay.
Yeah.
Why do you need me to have that path, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? If you're so convinced it's great, that's cool. Yeah. You go in that direction.
Well, that's the thing, you know, it's all part of, you know, it's part of a control, right? Because, and I'm not saying controlled in the sense of like, hey, this is controlled. It's all part of control. There has to be, if you don't prescribe to the same beliefs that I do, then how could you be right? Because I'm the one that's right, right? This is how it really is. You know, Christ will come back, and, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I don't talk a whole lot about my spiritual beliefs, just because it's just not what I do.
Please, I'm not knocking you.
No. And I don't take it that way at all. Yeah. Gosh, no. No, and that's one of the things. And this is part of the reason why I'm not sitting here saying that this is it, this is it, this is it. Because, you know, I want to have conversations like this. I want to be able to talk to people about their perspectives and their views on what they find to be spirituality, you know. If I am a Christian, I am 100% correct in my beliefs, right? Everything in my Christian beliefs is the truth, right? Therefore, you have to be wrong. You have to be wrong in order for me to be right. And is this the case? Is the Christian beliefs 100% the truth? I don't know. Could be. Right? Is the Muslim belief 100% the truth? I don't know. It could be. You know, insert your religion here. It could be. But what I do find most interesting about religion and spirituality is it does have this ability to keep people divided down, you know, on their sides and arguing and fighting. And like you said, in this group that you go in there, you're expecting it to be like, you know, really good open discourse and just good conversation. Like, hey, and all of a sudden you walk into a fight and it's like, what the heck's going on here?
You know?
And that's the thing. It's been weaponized in so many ways to this point where it's like, okay, you know, if I am a Christian, all right, I can live, walk, and be a Christian. Does that not mean accepting others and their beliefs? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, right?
Mm.
You know, how am I supposed to sit here and judge you because you found that tarot and numerology is what leads you to understand and what actually helps you each day to become a better person? How can I sit and judge you and then claim some moral authority over you, some higher power, you know, like, what the heck?
You know,
it's...
I think it's the case of being a good person is not good enough. You have to accept Jesus. You know, that's what some say. Not everyone, of course. But maybe it's... If everyone joined them, maybe they're a little bit of doubt. Maybe they have a bit of doubt. And if everyone went on their side, they'd feel more comfortable in their own belief, perhaps, you know. I don't go around door knocking saying, "Hey, buy this tarot deck. It's fantastic." I don't care. Because with tarot and numerology, there's, as I say, there's no judgment, there's no fear. It just is what it is, So I only care if people are into it because it's interesting talking to people about it, but I'm not preaching it. I'm not, so why, apart from the fact that the Bible, tells you to, I guess, why the desperate need to, it's a bit like waking up to what's going on. Like if someone wants to, turn to Jesus, ramming it down their throats won't do it. So let them come to that if they're meant to,
100%. And that's the
And
thing.
don't get
And
me wrong.
it's like Joel says often, it's about attraction, right? If
Yeah,
my beliefs
you're pretty cute, Pat. Sorry.
I see what you did there, Jeannie. It's about, if I live this way, right? If how I live and how I am and who I am and what I do, if that is in fact attractive to other people, if it is such a great way of doing things, other people will see me, they will understand, and they will come to me asking questions, right? And this is the biggest struggle, right? This is the struggle that we face when it comes to education and health and, just the entire society, right? You can break it down into all these little subcategories, but as a whole in society, right, this is where we struggle, because the attraction side of things, and there's so many people and we're all different, everybody's different, as much as they'd love us to believe we're all equal and the same, we're not.
No, of
You are
course not.
different than I, not just because you're a woman, but because you're just a different person in total. And this is where they get us, because how am I supposed to get the masses of people to follow me? Well, if I'm living correctly, that should be enough. But if it's not, then what? And this is what keeps us arguing about it, whether it be Christianity, Catholicism, Judaism, Muslim, whatever it may be, keeps us, divided, and then in turn fighting amongst ourselves over who's right, who's wrong. And that's the difficult part. I mean, we could say, hey, we know that there is absolutely no evidence that shows everything the last almost 3 years now has been necessary. We've shown it over and over. Now, I'm not saying me, I'm saying like the entire alternative community has shown this over and over and over again. But nobody wants to hear it. Why? Well, because the attention comes from a louder crowd, which is on the mainstream and all the rest.
Even Charles walking through the crowds, shaking hands. Oh, where's his social distancing? But and don't get me
Well,
wrong,
the virus, remember, is a very smart one, so
it doesn't
it
affect
knows
people.
when it knows pandering and understands and apparently
Yes,
has
that's right.
sympathy for pandering.
Yeah, exactly. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying every tarot reader, numerology, and I'm just picking those two modalities because I'm into them. I'm not saying they're all nice people either. No way, But I think there's three levels of how people are, and this is why they call it a spiritual war. It's because the religious people have their faith. Obviously, spiritual people have their own sort of faith or whatever. But I guess the human spirit, it's not a religious spirit, but that strength, as I was talking about. And when I say the God within, it's not really God, it's just your own personal strength, So everyone needs. If you can't fight this physically, you have to have some sort of inner strength. And I can't stand that meme that says God only gives us what we can handle. And it's like, oh, tell it to the people who have committed suicide. No, don't buy it. It's like, I guess it's a comfort platitude thing, but no,
Could be.
it's It's not really doing it for me, you know.
And that's okay, you know. I mean, I see it as, you know, there's a reason for everything that happens, right? Is that God? Is that Christ working? Or is that the numbers speaking, right? I'm not questioning either one of those right now, because I know kind of, for me, there's more than me out there, right? Is it God? Is it Jesus? I don't know. There's more than me out there. Is it my soul? Is it my spirit inside of me? You know, I'm not sure. What keeps Pat driving every single day? You know, no matter how hard it gets, I'm not sure what would drive somebody to choose suicide. I can't speak for, only because I've never been at that point in my life where it's ever been an option, right? Maybe it's that spirit inside having more drive and more fight versus some who don't. Is that something?
Yes.
Is that drive? Does it come from my powerful belief in Christ and God? Does it come from the way the numbers fall? I don't know. You know, personally for me, it comes from something greater than me, more than just numbers, but that's me. For you, it doesn't work. And to me, I look at it and say, that's okay. Why? Because you're a good person. And each day you're working to be a good person and a better person. And I'm trying to do the same. And at some point, maybe we meet and we start to, you know, find that, wow, we're not all that different. And hey, what if? And what if? What if we, you know, and that's where that attraction comes in, I think.
Yeah. I'm not even, I just can't take on board the Christian God.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even really believe in evolution anymore. So where does that leave me? Like, is there some big creator, and we're in their video game? Like,
could be
the you know, something started life.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to think about, but it's just a shame. Like, we want the world to come together, and here we are with just spiritual people. Like, and there's much more to that than numerology and tarot. But you know, they start this site, and they're fighting with religious people. And to me, it's like, well, there's no need for religious people to come in and preach God, because that site is obviously not about that. So why come in and, you know?
Well, it's the old thing, right? If you don't have anything good to say, then don't say it at all, right? You know, I mean, if you ever want to, you know, see that in action, just head on over to the comments section and you'll see that in action. It's one of those things where it's like, you don't, you know, like, if I'm watching something, and let's say, for example, I agree with you, but I don't agree with me, right? Let's say I'm watching this particular chat we're having right now, and I agree with you, Jeannie, but that Pat guy, he's a freaking idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I may still listen. I may even drop a comment saying, hey, great conversation or something like that. Then, you know, then there's others that just can't help themselves, that have to comment. And that's fine. You know, the open Discord, that's cool. You know, I mean, that is what it is. But for me, I'm going to break down the conversations. So for example, over there on Facebook, it's tough because it's all text. It's all comment section over there, right? So you find one thread where somebody maybe wrote a comment and you love it and you want to get into it more. And now you're stuck. You're having to weed through all of these, you know, troll comments that are going on in between it, and keeping up with the convo is tough. That's where I really enjoy the video and audio perspective through podcasts and video casts and things like that, because I don't have to open the comment section. I just have a listen. And if I agree or disagree, I kind of make up my mind as I go. I break down the content and the information, and it's really tough. And that's where, you know, with a place like Facebook or Twitter or wherever, it's tough. You're stuck just dealing with the opinions versus the opinions of the people that you wanted to kind of, because in the end, it's all opinion, right? I mean, I could say you're 100% wrong, but then you can say, Pat, you're 100% wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
If you said right now, I think tarot and numerology are a heap of shit.
Yeah.
Okay, mate. That's cool.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah. I'm not going to come back to you and abuse you, you know? Yeah. It's like, and you're... all these insults, you are obviously an intelligent person.
Well, let's not get crazy now.
So to sling these insults is just, you know.
It's amusing. It's amusing. You know,
I laugh. Well, you have to laugh or you cry. You have to laugh.
Well, it's just all it is it just shows character of people, you know, that's all. And at the end of the day, you know, it brings us right back to the whole attractive thing, the attraction thing, you know, where it's, you know, I know the direction that I want my life to go. I know the type of person I want to be. And I tend to surround myself with those types of people. And I hope, I hope all you guys out there with the guests that we have on, we're not nitpicking, right? I mean, you know, we told Harmful to pound sand. Because he just cannot, you know, he's so rude to absolutely everybody in the comments section that it's just like, you know, sorry, man, you know, what positive message that you bring? Because I did find his message to be very positive. It wasn't something I agreed with 100%, but he had a very positive message, right? But then when you go and you actually start to look back at the comment section, the amount of negativity, the level of toxic that comes out of him through his text in these comments is just, sorry, bud, you know, so what we're doing here is we're not censoring the guy. I'm not going to stop him from commenting. Comment away, dude. If you've got that much time in your life for us where you can reply to yourself 37 times in the comment section, cool, man. Yeah. That is cool. Yeah. And you're probably going to find that there are people out there that agree with you, and that's cool. But then we have people like Eugenie. You know, we have Tony, we have, you know, Adam, we have all these people that we're talking with. You know, I got another guy, this guy, Pete, thank you for the coffee, by the way, down in Guatemala. He's going to come back on and join us again for another chat soon. And, you know, we've got people around the world that we're talking with, and this open discourse where, you know, I'm not sitting here and judging you. I'm not telling you you're wrong, because there are people out there that understand where you're coming from, just like there's people out there that understand where, and you know, is that right? I think so. You know, some people think it's not. Yeah. That's cool.
I think my main message about the spirituality is I believe people can be that without believing in a deity, basically. That doesn't make them bad people or anything. You know,
what makes someone a bad person is their actions, right? I mean, how they are and who they are, you know, what they're actually doing, you know, and if we can start there, I think there's room to grow, right? So you and I, we can start here, right? You try each day to be a good person. I'm trying each day to be a good person. And if we can have conversation back and forth, I may find that some of the things on your side of the fence are pretty cool and make a lot of sense, just like you may find the same on my side of the fence, and we can work and we can build off of that. You know, your core beliefs, they may be different from mine, but if your actions speak for what you're
that's
doing.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
You're not looking to hurt me.
No, of course not. Right. A good person is a good person.
Yeah.
Full stop. You know, so totally agree. Do you want to move a bit to education?
Please. Yes, I like this. See, you're taking control of this conversation right now on me, Jeannie.
I'll control you, Pat. Yeah, I'll control you.
You're one of them, aren't you? You're one of them.
I am.
I knew it. Okay.
I'm a Freemason.
Careful. Somebody's gonna clip that, and they're gonna use it against you.
I'm in trouble. Just a couple of thoughts. You know, when I was at school, I used to think it was horrible that you'd go to school for 6 hours and then you would come home and you'd have a night's fill of homework, right? Mm. Because I was a study head, so, you know. But to me, it's like, was that part of keeping kids at home not out socializing? Was it just part of that more control type stuff? And the other thing is, we couldn't go into certain parts of the school grounds, you know, or go down the road to the shops. We had to stay in certain areas.
Yep.
And that's definitely
And you have to raise your hand and ask for permission to do anything and all the rest. Yeah. Yeah.
But a big part of that, I think, is a lot of parents probably liked that because they knew where their kids were, you know?
Yep.
So it's like, I don't think any parent would, or many, would have bucked that system. Yeah, I'm glad you're not letting my kid go down to the news agents at lunchtime. I want him or her in the school
staying
grounds.
Here, yeah, yep.
So, you know, no
from a
one...
safety standpoint, that makes sense, you know?
Yes, yes. From that standpoint, it does, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it just, I guess it just shows that the school did, I mean, you could say, you could argue they had have a legal responsibility for the kids.
And
you know,
that's so exactly what I was going to say.
It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just...
Well, as far as the, you know, so like the homework, for example, that's part of the molding, the social conditioning, right? The, you know, your work is never done type stuff, but it also keeps them focused on what the school wants them focused on when they're not there, right? So if, you know, for example, you know, here's the thing. Are there certain subjects that are necessary to live a decent life? Yes, I do feel that there are, you know, some math and language skills and, you know, the basics of so many things. And then from there, you know, each person will find the things that interest them more and obviously look further and further into that. And that's one of the things I liked a lot about the talk with Dragon about the unschooling process, where the child's actually really deciding for himself or herself what really interests them at that particular moment. And, you know, with the indoctrination camps that we know as schools, they're setting them down. They have a regimented day throughout. You have to ask for permission to do anything and everything. You're essentially locked in a building that is all but identical to a prison in so many ways, right? The classrooms are a little larger than the cells, but, you know, essentially that's where you're at. You know, you're busted in and out, all the rest of these things. And if they can keep your mindset on exactly what they are telling you, because these are the things, remember, when you go, right, they're telling you this is the most important stuff. If you don't know this, you'll never be a productive member in society. You'll never be a good citizen. And, you know, these are things that parents, they, you said, well, I think a lot of times the parents like these, this setup. To a degree, yes, but do they really like it? Or is this just, they're a product of the same system, and they just know that this is the norm. This is the societal norm. And what I think's happened a lot the last couple of years, as well, you know, with light being shed on the scamdemic, is the content and the way teachers are and the information that's being relayed to our children and taught to our children, like the books about all of the insanity going on with transgendering and all the rest of this stuff that's happening, you know, the way that they're actually molding our youth into, you know, and that I think is one of the other real big positives that's come out of it. And from that, obviously, we've seen a huge jump in homeschooling. I'm sure in Australia, it's the same thing. Do you know offhand, is it as easy to homeschool in Australia as it is here in the United States?
I'm not sure. I would suspect it might be, but I can't say for sure.
All right.
But on that point of homeschooling, I was going to say, you know, there'd be a lot of cases where what the parents or the parent cannot be there for various reasons.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Both might have to work or they're just not emotionally equipped or whatever. So where does that leave the child?
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
well, there are groups and things of that nature. That's one of the things. And or even, for example, a situation like for myself, you know, my ex-wife, She's very against all of that stuff. You know, she doesn't want anything to do with those things. So, you know, trying to work around that. So really, you know, for me, you know, time spent with my daughter is, you know, I'm explaining to her my views and how I see things and teaching her and having her read certain books and things of that nature to try to help to mold her and keep her on point. And this is something, this is where, you know, I mean, the whole parenting is a, it's the most difficult job there is. You know, it's easy in some, you know, in some ways it's simple. Like, you know, for example, I you know, go for a hike with my daughter for the day. Like, that's just a fun day. You know, there's no task involved there. There's no job involved there. But then when I look at the day as we're hiking, you know, what's the conversation going to be about? You know, are we not going to talk at all? Or, you know, are we going to talk, you know, about things like the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Or are we going to talk about spirituality versus religion? Or are we going to talk about, you know, a book that she read or a book that we've read, you know, which direction? And that's where it's like it starts to get more challenging, because now, and what the education system has done essentially is they've already decided all these things. Right. And now what we're seeing happen specifically a lot with this whole, oh, you can decide if you're a boy or a girl, and you can, you know, all these things, these have been long planned, right? These are all things that have been set to happen, and they chose these times now. So what we're seeing is we're seeing them with their pre-planned conversations on the hike, rolling them out. And what happens is the conversation that already happened, well, that continues happening as part of the regiment, and then they just add to it. And this is where we're getting that molding, that social conditioning, where we're seeing the effects of it all over. I mean, heck, you know, just look at people still wearing masks, look at people still social distancing, look at people that are still going out there getting booster jabs. That's just one area to look, you know. It's amazing.
Yeah,
But it
exactly.
all goes back, in my opinion, to the education system and how they're able to mold individuals to the collective.
I remember studying the book Wuthering Heights, and I loved it. But I remember feeling sorry for the boys because I swear most of them weren't interested in studying a romance book like Wuthering Heights. They'd be more interested in like tanks and cars and whatever. But they didn't have a choice, you know, they couldn't. And that's, you know, and I remember.
I've never read Wuthering Heights, so I don't know
Oh,
what I would be in for or not.
it's a doomed romance. It sort of reflects my life.
Okay, cool.
But it's a good book. But the boys weren't interested, you know.
Right.
Oh, lost my thought. So.
But
Let's just say they had
they
a
didn't get
choice.
the
They
choice in a matter.
had to study. Oh, when I say choice, they could have not read it and got zero, you know. But
That was the direction I went most of the time.
the kids, But the kids should be able to choose something they're interested in. Like, what's the point in forcing someone to bloody study something they have no interest in? It's not going to help them in life. It won't matter. But what I do think, Pat, is that you can't become a surgeon without being educated. You can't sit next to a surgeon and watch him do something. Oh, yeah, give me that brain. I think I know what you're doing there. There has to be some form of education, obviously, you know, that
Course.
parents can't give, of course. But I guess as long as it's directed to a particular practical thing and not this progressive woke nonsense, of course. There has to be an education system, you know, of some sorts. So,
I agree. I mean, here's the thing. I
you're
mean,
black.
you know, we all, like you said, right? So a doctor would need some sort of education, right?
That's just one example, but
And it's a good example, because, you know, how many people by the time they're, say, 10 years old are sitting there saying, man, I want to be a doctor? There's probably quite a few. How many people, how many from that group by the time they're 15 are still saying, man, I want to be a doctor, you know? And the ones that tend to start to go and look deeper into the topic find out pretty quick whether that's something they want to do or not. The issue that I find with the education system as it is today is it doesn't really, so once that person starts to say, hey, I'm showing an interest in an excelled interest in becoming a doctor, they're not starting to take that person and say, okay, let's start looking a little more into biology, or let's start looking a little more into, you know, this topic, that topic, and the no.
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're saying, cool story, all right, but just don't forget, if you don't do this, 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 and that, then you're never going to be that doctor. You're never going to be anything. As if, you know, because I look at it and say, and this is what, again, where the unschooling, I like the theory behind it, because my child comes to me and says, Dad, I want to be an author. Okay, wow, that's pretty cool. How many books have you read? What's a book? I've never read a book. Haha. Well, you should probably start reading a book, and you should probably start getting a better understanding of the English language and, you know, proper grammar and all of these things. And a couple of months later, my child may come back to me and say, Dad, I don't want to be an author. Like, wow, that's too much work, and it didn't grab me. And that's cool.
Yeah.
Now that person will move on to the next thing and the next thing until they find their niche, until they find where they really want to be and what they want to do. And that takes a long time for some people. And the education system, to me, it confuses people. And the issue, again, comes down to population, the size, how many people in the area. You know, like there was that time of the single room schoolhouses where, you know, from the top down, you know, the teacher and then the oldest would help the younger, they would help the younger and on down. And promoting more of an individual side of things versus the group collective, and that's been lost, unfortunately, I think.
Well, exactly. Like, if a kid wants to be a mechanic or wants to look into it, why are you shoving Shakespeare down his throat if he hates it? What's the point? And
one size fits all.
You sort of have these nigglings of these thoughts, but you're not mature enough to do anything with it, you know.
It's amazing. So, when I was teaching people to drive, right? When I would get some of the younger students that would come in, you know, I'd ask them all, you know, because they're all going to college. Maybe one out of 50 would be able to answer what they truly wanted to accomplish by going to college. Most of them, it's just, well, no, you got to go to college. Like, well, what are you going to major in? What are you going to do? What are you thinking? Oh, what do you mean you don't know? You're leaving in like a year to go to college, and you have no idea. You're not even curious. And when you really break into conversation, you get a little bit further. But, you know, to me, right, if I'm going to further education, right, college, right, if I'm going to do that, knowing that it could potentially cost me a couple of $100,000 depending on where I go and what I'm, well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to make up my mind and know at that point, but the schools haven't prepared them for this. They don't prepare them to, because what they're doing is they're making obedient order followers so that they know just enough about a little bit of everything. And then once they get into that career, right, that job, that place you're going to be for the rest of your life. Oh, that makes sense. But then they'll teach you a little bit more, just enough so that you're not dangerous, though.
That's right. Yeah.
A world of individual critical thinkers is far too dangerous
for a civilized
society, you know? And it's tough, but. Well, we're quickly running out of time already here, Jamie.
Yeah, flies. Yeah, no, that's fine, Pat. Said pretty much what I wanted to say. So.
So all good stuff, you know. As far as the religion and spirituality, guys, you know, we need to be able to have our beliefs. We need to be able to live our lives as we see fit. And if we're not hurting other people, give people a chance, hear them out, you know, instead of jumping on them and telling them that they're wrong all the time, or, you know, whatever it may be, preaching whatever, you know, listen, have that conversation with people as best you can. Some people you'll never be able to converse with, right? I mean, there are people out there that you just will not, you know, COVID's shown us a lot of that as well. But, you know, we have to be open-minded to other people's ideas. And from that, you know, we will probably more often than not, like you and I, Jeannie, find that we have a common ground in a lot of things, you know? Like, I just want to be a good person as best I
Yep,
can, you know?
and try not to hurt anybody. Like Joel said, or says, don't be a douchebag or whatever
Yeah,
his motto
exactly.
is.
Just don't be a douche, and it'll it's cool.
It's as simple as that. It's the simplest message, regardless of religion or anything. Just don't be a bloody douchebag. I love it. I love
Yeah.
it.
But you know, it's one of those things, and that's where, you know, we tend to find our circles of people that we associate with and connect with,
Of
you know,
course,
because that's just the way it is. It's human nature, I guess, you know. But always a fun conversation with you, Jeannie. And you
you
know, we'll
too.
yeah, we'll get you set up again as we're done here. So guys, with no Joel, I'm just gonna kind of end it here. Jeannie, we appreciate
Yeah,
you.
no, that's
Thank
cool,
you.
mate. That's cool. Thanks. I appreciate you having me on. Truly, I love
Definitely.
you guys.
Yeah,
Thank you.
we got a few more guests coming back again this week, guys. So it's gonna be
Cool.
yeah, we got 3 or 4 days in a row coming up here where we're gonna have some good guests. We got a doubleheader coming up on Sunday with a couple of guests. We're gonna do it'll be our first time recording two separate conversations on the same morning. It's
Okay,
pretty
great.
intense. So it's good stuff, guys, coming, and we do appreciate you all as always. So all right, everybody have a great day.
Okay, thanks. See you.